Greetings in the name of the one by whom we know love. I am currently reading, along with other pastoral colleagues, Hawaii's Story by Hawaii's Queen, written by Queen Liliuokalani, about the time of her regency and her testimony of the overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom. I am grateful for the nudge to read the book because, though I had some sense there was a general injustice around this overthrow, I was not aware of the blatant details of greed, backdoor politicking, betrayal, lying, and lack of character of those members of what was the missionary party and of the provisional government responsible for this overthrow. I was not aware of how much trickery and lying took place over the more than 2 years to drain the Hawaiian throne of any power and siphon the kingdom from the Hawaiian people. The devil is in the details indeed. I'm certain many of you are already aware of this history. It is new to me. The missionary party consisted in large part of the adult children of those Christian missionary families who first came to the islands and who had acquired by this time substantial amounts of land and of wealth. And we must be honest to acknowledge LCH's own historical relationship to this party. After King Kalakaua had been coerced with threats against his own life by this party to sign a new constitution that severely limited the power of the monarchy, then heir apparent Liliuokalani was approached secretly by Mr. W.R. Castle of the Castle and Cook dynasty to take the throne of her brother, thinking that because of her own deep Christian faith, she would be an ally. But they were mistaken. She declined. During this time and after, Liliuokalani writes about false rumors that were spread of her in newspapers, of the lies that were taken to President Cleveland of her treatment of those who had deposed her brother, the lie being that she was planning to behead them when she was planning no such thing, of President Cleveland's clarity that the monarchy should rightly remain the ruler of this island nation, and of the self-appointed commissioners Thurston, Wilder, Marsden, and Minister Stevens, who traveled to the U.S. Capitol, received welcome by then-President Harrison, and who pushed through the Senate finally the recognition of the provisional government of Hawaii. At times, private meetings that she had were, without her knowledge, secretly recorded. There was a scribe that was behind a Japanese screen in a conversation that she had with one of the commissioners. Even conversations in her home between her and who she considered friends were shared with the missionary party. There is so much of the drama of Holy Week that is born through this story, and it is engaging and heartbreaking at the same time to be reading Liliuokalani's account, particularly this week. In both stories, it was a time of political turmoil. Power was sought and authority was questioned. There was the betrayal of close friends, even while intimately sharing a meal at someone's home. There was the test of character of those who stated their loyalty, but when pressed, fell. Tonight, we remember that Jesus sat with his betrayers and friends and reminded them of their work and mission. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are disciples if you have love for one another. It is astonishing to me that in spite of the treatment that Queen Liliuokalani received by the missionary party and even Christian members of benevolent societies that she had been deeply a part of, she is always careful in her writing to distinguish the spirit of Christianity summed up in tonight's commandment from those who call themselves Christians. In much of her work, she put missionary in quotes. She was imprisoned at the palace on January 16th, 1895. Uncertain of her fate and those of her allies, she thought she was going to die. She found comfort in her faith. She wrote this: "That first night of my imprisonment was the longest night I have ever passed in my life. It seemed as though the dawn of day would never come. I found in my bag a small book of common prayer according to the ritual of the Episcopal Church. And it was a great comfort to me." After her prison sentence, she remembers with kindness the visit of a few religious leaders. These visits, she wrote, offered little acts of tenderness and kindness, which brought anew to my mind that passage in Scripture. I was in prison, and he visited me. Although my Christian, she puts a question mark after that, although my Christian, jailers denied to me their sacred ministration and actual presence, yet nonetheless were these good and true Christians there in the loving tokens of kind remembrance and in the spirit of the divine Lord during my bondage. The statement that Queen Liliuokalani made during her trial is a powerful call for accountability, and it is also a powerful witness of genuine forgiveness. You can almost hear the spirit of Christ's words in his final week before his own trial. Her trial statement ends this way. There may be in your consciences a warrant for your action in what you may deem a necessity of the times, but you cannot find any such warrant for any such action in any settled, civilized, or Christian land. All who uphold you in this unlawful proceeding may scorn and despise my word. But the offense of breaking and setting aside for a specific purpose the laws of your own nation and disregarding all justice and fairness may be to them and to you the source of an unhappy and much to be regretted legacy. I would ask you to consider that your government is on trial before the whole civilized world, and that in accordance with your actions and decisions, will you yourselves be judged. The happiness and prosperity of Hawaii are henceforth in your hands as its rulers. You are commencing a new era in history. May the divine providence grant you the wisdom to lead the nation into the paths of forbearance, forgiveness, and peace, and to create and consolidate a united people ever anxious to advance in the way of civilization outlined by the American Fathers of Liberty and Religion. I assure you, who believe you are faithfully fulfilling a public duty, that I shall never harbor any resentment or cherish any ill feeling towards you, whatever may be your decision. End quote. In hindsight, Liliuokalani admits in her writing that her one error may have been that she trusted the missionary party to act with character, and the United States government to behave and act justly and rightly. She wrote this, "It may be true that they really believed us unfit to be trusted to administer the growing wealth of the islands in a safe and proper way. But if we manifested any incompetency, it was not foreseeing that they would be bound by no obligation, by honor, or by oath of allegiance, should an opportunity arise for seizing our country and bringing it under the authority of the United States." Many of Liliuokalani's actions over the missionary party, I think, are a witness of the kind of love to which we are called. This kind of love means to risk losing everything. It means to strip away all ego and sense of self, trusting in the promise of the call. We may lose everything, but we will have gained our souls. There is so much in Liliuokalani's story that challenges. And how do those of us who have benefited from any land that has been unjustly taken respond faithfully? To what does Christ call us? Let us continue to wrestle courageously with the question and the work of repair, however painful the cost. We may find that God calls in order to save our very essence, our very souls. We are called to love into death, that life might rise anew. With Christ and the faithful witness of the saints and ancestors through time, including Queen Liliuokalani, by God's grace, may it be so.